Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Can You Put Me On Guest List. I'm Katie Knight, and today I have the absolute pleasure to chat with the creative director of Middle Beast, DJ and producer, Baloo. I was in Saudi last year for XP Conference. I was moderating some panels there, and I was also hosting XP Air. And I was absolutely blown away by the talent, the emerging sounds, the conference itself, the amount of incredibly talented people that I met at this conference. I learned so much. And don't get me wrong, when I was invited to go and speak at XP, there were so many people that said to me, "Are you sure you want to go? I don't know. I've heard this, I've heard that." I was like, no, I want to go and experience this for myself. I want to see what it's like. And I'm so glad I did, because as I said before, I loved every moment of it. I was absolutely buzzing when I came back. And since then, I've moderated other panels, such as at ADE, on the rapid growth of the scene in the region. Had people like Noria on the podcast, and just kind of been involved in various different initiatives. And I just find it so incredibly inspiring, interesting. I love everything about this music scene and everything that it comes with. So I'm so excited to have Baloo on the podcast today, because we talk about what the current scene is like right now, and how Middle Beast, with XP Conference, with Soundstorm Festival, a festival that brings, I think, just the first edition alone, 450,000 people to the first edition of Soundstorm, which was only in 2019. How Middle Beast are contributing to this growth, and all of the different artists that are coming out of the scene. It's just a really, really exciting time. So we talk all about what it's currently like, but I was also very interested in what the scene was like just a few years ago. I mean, private events went public only in 2019 with the establishment of the General Entertainment Authority. But Saudi Arabia's scene had been thriving for the last two decades, but just behind closed doors. So I was very curious to know what it was like growing your artistic career in that context, and how artists developed their sound and their skills without being able to perform publicly. So very, very interesting conversation. Baloo is just, as you'll hear in this conversation, just so, such a down to earth, full of energy, bright person. So, an absolute pleasure to have him on the show. I learned so much from this conversation. And if you have not yet checked out XP or Soundstorm or any of the record labels that Middle Beast have, then I really recommend you do so, because it's a whole new world out there. So I hope you enjoy this conversation. This is Baloo here on Can You Put Me On Guest List.
All right, here I am. Hello.
There he is. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, my love. How are you?
Fantastic.
Nice to see you. You look very fresh.
Thank you. I just came from a few days in LA, and yeah. I slept, you know, after 4 days of painful jet lag and really no sleep on the flight. So I slept a little bit today. Yeah.
You didn't sleep on that whole 11-hour flight.
11 hours of me attempting to sleep and sleeping for 45 minutes at a time, and then being up for a couple of hours in between all of those. So, yeah, I mean, it's funny because in my head, I thought I had slept. And then when we landed, one of the air hosts said, "So you didn't sleep much, huh?" And I looked at him and I said, I thought I kind of did, but now that you say that, no, I didn't really sleep much, you know.
That's a horrible feeling when you feel like you're actually falling asleep, but then you realize, actually, no, I have not slept.
I was like, you know, supporting my own denial, but
So you're in Berlin now.
I'm in Berlin.
Okay, cool. You're super. I'm guessing this time is like this time of the year is very, very busy for you. You've got
It's very
XP coming up,
busy.
Soundstorm, but you're still gigging. You've got the record label. What's going on? Tell
Right.
me.
I mean, it's not even just that. I mean, we have XP coming up. Lucky for us, XP has become, a huge team. It's kind of a machine. So, my level of interaction with it has become, I'd say once a day versus, every half an hour there's a question that comes up, where now it's been streamlined. Same with Soundstorm, it's a well-oiled machine at this point. And then now we have these smaller venues coming up, small events, pop-ups and such. There's a lot happening in the world of Middle East.
Loads happening. In fact, I have like 5,000 million questions, which I've had to like narrow down because otherwise I'll have you here for hours. But we'll get into Soundstorm and XP and what you've got coming up in a bit. But I just kind of wanted to rewind a little bit and kind of go back a few years and just talk about you growing up and you what kind of music you were surrounded by. Growing up in Saudi Arabia, a country where at that time public entertainment events were banned. So what kind of musical influences did you have and what kind of music were you listening to at that time?
Well, I mean, yes, music was banned, but it was sold. We still had music stores, and we would, the bootleg world was crazy back then. We get full mixes, like mixed tapes sold, and we'd go and buy these, and we had. I had a ritual every Tuesday. I would go to the store back then. It was called Music Master in Riyadh, and I would just look at what they had in this week. That was the day all the shipments came in, and after they were scanned for any profanity, or they would make it to the store eventually with a bit of censorship. Sometimes there would be markered covers, artwork and whatever. Yeah, I mean, so the music was always there. I mean, the thing about me specifically, I was lucky. I have a brother, 10 years older than me, Khalid. Khalid was big on popular music, and he would come home every Christmas break with records and cassettes and 12 inches and 7 inches and all these different types of music and genres. And popular music was wider back then. You had a bit of rock and new wave and 80s soul and funk and early hip hop. And so all of this used to come to me. Plus, every summer my family would travel to the US, and all I did every summer since I can remember, I'd say since 1984, was sit in front of the TV and watch MTV all day. It was
Really?
MTV with my cereal, MTV with,
My cereal, my Fruit Loops.
Cocoa Puffs.
Okay.
That's how we were consuming music. And we would also travel a bit every break. My family would go to Europe or the US, and other kids would buy toys. I would buy music.
Music.
Yeah.
What about underground music? Where was your first contact with underground music?
So also my brother Khalid, who was in Washington DC in 1986, and that was pre house music, I would say, like especially in DC. He started to bring these, along with the pop popular music, he would have these other records that had, remixes and these obscure versions of music that I knew, and sometimes, you know, tracks that were not, you know, they didn't have music videos or weren't on the radio. And that's how I got introduced. I got introduced to house music at 10 years old. So
10 years old.
I grew up with it, you could say. So, you know, after that, every summer, you know, my music selection would, you know, it would widen. I would start to look into, you know, maxi CDs that had, you know, remixes on them, like a Masters at Work remix you know, a Junior Vasquez remix or a Shep Pettibone remix or, you know, so I always liked dance music. I always liked anything that made me move.
Anything that made you move.
Yeah.
And what about DJing then? When did you start DJing? At what age? It must have been super young then.
It was, but not with the you know, your turntables. I had a boombox at home, and I only realized it later in life because I went through some cassettes and I heard this one cassette that was a mix that I had done. And I had done this in 1989, maybe. And the way I would lay out the music, it always made sense. There was storytelling, and they wouldn't be mixed, but they would fall into perfect timing, perfect sequence, because you could control that when you recorded cassettes. But my first, you know, experience with a mixer was in 1996.
In 1996.
Yeah, in Washington D.C., I was in my sophomore year at university, and I just started to pick up my brother's records and try and mix them on his mixer and turntables, which were, you know, it was pre-Techniques even. He had these Radio Shack turntables, and you know, the dials were different. They were a bit harder to, like, you know, control and manipulate. But it took me like a few months to get my first mix right. And then, you know, 6 months later, I had my first mixtape, you know, recorded. So, yeah, I would say 1997. That's when I could call myself a DJ, you know.
Yeah, your first experience DJing. And then, so yeah. Before private events went public, is it in 2016?
2019.
Saudi Arabia's music scene had been thriving for a really long time, but just behind closed doors, I mean,
look, I grew up, you know, always having a relationship with music. Whenever, you know, we had a birthday party, there was music, you know, whenever our families would get together for New Year's or whatever, there was music. I remember since I was in high school, I would hear about, you know, parties that got shut down or, you know, and I always wanted to like attend these parties. And eventually, you know, I met the right people and I started to hang out with them and check out their parties. And I mean, I started DJing, in Saudi in maybe 2000, when I moved back, 2003.
Okay.
The parties went from, you know, 15 people to, you know, 50 people in 2006.
And what were they, just at like houses, at people's houses and stuff?
Yeah, it was people's homes, you know, people's, you know, some families have compounds, you know, the brothers, all the, you know, the whole family shares, you know, the compound, and they have like a pool house. Like, this was my friend Ibs, for example. He had a pool house, and this is where we always threw our parties. And that's where I met most of my music community in Saudi, the pool house. And then a few friends of mine rented this apartment on a street called Shar al Khokh, which translates to Peach Street, like peach, the fruit. And so that we used to call that place Peaches. And we'd go and hang out there for the whole weekend. There'd be 50, 60 people coming in and out all night long in this tiny apartment that was soundproofed.
Wow.
Yeah, and then sometimes in beach houses, you know, our friends with larger homes and basements, you know, they would always offer their space whenever their parents were out of town. So it was always like, it was always a speakeasy by by culture, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I never really thought of it like that before, like a speakeasy. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's funny because whenever I was invited to an after party in Ibiza, you know, half hour into the experience, I'd look around and be like, it's like home, you know, because it's literally a party in a villa, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So then when the public events, private events then did go public, where was the first ever public event that you went to, and what was that party like?
Wow. I mean, look, public events specific to music happened in 2019, but I remember playing at store openings or gallery openings or fashion shows. I played the fashion show, for example, in the mid-2000s. So whenever it's public, music was treated like a side dish. So, okay. You know, if it was a fashion show, there was a side dish. If there was a design conference, there's a bit of a music program, it was a side dish. It only became the main dish in 2019. It became a ticketed thing. You could go and buy a ticket and attend the party with music and whatnot. So that's something very fresh. But not that fresh considering, you know, the private party scene. So, you know, people were ready for it when it happened.
So Soundstorm happened super quick then. Like as soon as that could happen, it was all ready to go, I guess. Because the first session was 2019.
2019 December. I got the call to jump on the project in July of that year. So, yeah.
What? So from July to December, that's when Soundstorm was put together. A festival that had like over 450,000 people and over 150 artists in that short period of time.
Yeah, it was painful and brutal. You know, I remember the last couple of weeks, I would go on 90 minutes of sleep a night, if not less, you know. We were understaffed, you know, we were working 24 hours, we were terrified, you know, of what might happen, how people are going to react, you know. But we did that. And then the doors opened, and you know, I remember looking around and thinking, "Oh no, we're not done. We have so much more to do." But you know, we were the only people that noticed that.
Yeah, of course.
We saw the gaps, but no one else did. Everyone else loved it.
I can't believe that it was just that short period of time that you had to set that up. Was there a reason why you just? Was there a reason why it was happening in the December? Had you always said that was going to be the...
I mean, yeah, that was our deadline. We wanted it to be December. And you know how in the rest of the world, November, December is kind of like a low season.
Yeah.
In Saudi, that's high season. That's when we party. You know, that's when the desert outings happen. That's when you know, the weather is amazing and you can have outdoor stuff. So it's prime time for us to throw a festival.
Yeah. When Soundstorm was announced for the first time, how was it received by the country?
A lot of people were calling us Fire Festival. They didn't believe it. And we had a struggle because we were building it so far from the city. No one could see it. No one could see what we were building. And so there's no proof. There was nothing. So a lot of people were like, yeah, right, whatever, please. You know, of course, yeah, right. You know, it was funny the way they reacted. So then we started to have interviews happen on the grounds, you know, just know this is a real stage. There's a lot of zones here, you know, this is this zone, this is that zone. It was fun. It was fun, especially not, you know, being called Fire Festival and knowing that our festival is about to come up.
It's going to be absolutely massive.
Yeah, you know, we were more excited than put off by the reactions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And if that was kind of the how it was received nationally, what about internationally? Was it kind of the same kind of feeling as well?
I mean, if we can't believe it.
Yeah. Well, how's everybody else? Yeah.
Why would anyone else, you know? But it happened. And then, you know, the doors opened and people came in and there were 450,000 very smiley people at my festival. So for me, I was thrilled. I couldn't believe what was happening. And I did not expect this to happen in my lifetime, you know.
Wow.
You know, I mean, when you talk, when a Saudi DJ plays music, they play music because they really, really love the music. Because this was never on our horizon, you know, as a career or as a possibility. So, you know, there's a lot of passionate DJs coming out of Saudi, especially now that this is cool, you know, we're out there.
So since everything has, you know, become public and open, did you know that there was this amount and this many people that were going to be so into the music scene and so many DJs? Or is it something that now has opened up, has just grown and grown and grown? Or do you think it's always been there? They've just obviously not been known.
I mean, everything was buzzing under the surface. I'm 45, so I'm one of the older guys in the scene. And I knew a lot of talent already. I had intersected with them, whether it was at another party, whether it was at a festival somewhere else. You know, the older generation of DJs, we know each other because we've gone through it together. You know, but what surprised me at Soundstorm was the community around the tribes that, you know, we had never seen before, because each one of us has their tribe as DJs. All of those booked and not booked, artists that were not booked for Soundstorm, Saudis, they came because, you know, it was the first festival. So everyone met. The whole community went from these very small, paranoid silos to this one big mushroom community overnight.
Yeah, really quickly.
Yeah, very quickly. So we all met. We all found out that there's a big love for this vibe and music and energy and multi-genre, you know, just like anywhere else. You've got your techno tribe, you've got your deep house tribe, your minimal tribe, your, you know, the list goes on. It's fascinating to see all of this coming to the surface, you know.
And so Middle Beast started off as the company behind Soundstorm, but then very rapidly grew into a much wider platform, which now includes Middle Beast Records, online radio channel, XP, the music conference. Did that all happen?
Now venues.
And now venues. Did all of that happen? Did you ever think that this platform was going to grow that quickly, or were these going to be projects that were going to happen more?
Well, we had planned out a big portion of the picture that we're at right now. You know what I mean? Before Soundstorm, we knew that we were going to have an online radio. We knew that we were building a conference. We knew that we had to have record labels, because you're talking about a music desert, if you will. You know, this is where we had the opportunity to build the music industry's infrastructure, and for us, this was the brand, this was the spearheading that we needed to do. So the festival was the big splash, the big band-aid ripped off of our, you know, social norms, right? And then that just paved the way for a lot, and obviously, you know, just going back to like the sequence of events. We had Soundstorm and we were throwing Balad Beast March 21st, 2020. But that's also the date where the whole world shut down. That's the date where, you know, the pandemic, put everyone, on their couch for a very long time, right? So we had time to get all of this stuff up and ready for later. We started to, build everything strategically, and as much as, and plus, think about that in the musician's context. You're into music, but you don't see a future in it, and so suddenly this festival happens, and your dreams of maybe becoming a musician suddenly materialize, and then this pandemic happens. What do you end up doing? So I think for us, Soundstorm plus pandemic equals a lot of post-pandemic artists showing up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what a time. I didn't think of
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Everyone just started, went into their learning space, and they grew their talent, and helped their skills. They fixed their skills good. They bought the machines, and they brought it home, and they had more time on their hands. So, it's almost like
kind of good timing in a good way.
Right?
It's like, this has happened. Now we're going to give you a couple of years to go and really work hard on it and then come back.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it worked out for a lot of people.
Yeah. Is this when you also did, was it Freakways?
Freakways. Middle Beast Freakways, yeah.
Middle Beast Freakways.
We first launched Middle Beast Frequencies, which is our online radio. And that was basically an open invitation to any artist who wanted to submit some music. We created a program around the clock, and it was just music, and people were around for it because they were home. They're stuck at home, so a lot of people at least had a soundtrack of fresh music to listen to during this time. And from that, we developed this, because everyone's grounded, none of us can travel, none of us can move. Mm. So we created this concept of an international music festival, and we took the concept of an airline. Middle Beast Frequencies was basically this fake airline that would take you to these spots around the world, and you get to see these DJs perform in these epic, locations. And so that was the concept behind it. It was a fake airline when we couldn't travel.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was going all around the world, but it was also it was also showcasing places around Saudi, like different artists, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, the thought behind that was, we have all of this tourism popping up right now, all this sector popping up, and we have all of these really beautiful destinations that even we haven't seen as Saudis. We thought two birds with one stone. Let's highlight these with a simple DJ set and a beautiful backdrop.
Amazing.
And we filmed a few people, and not just we filmed people in Al Ula, Dishdash were in Al Ula. I played in this old village. I had never seen or heard of until I drove up to it. And then I was like, whoa, what is this? So we have some really beautiful scenery in Saudi that, we're discovering. And during the pandemic, we got to travel inside the country. So I'm telling you, everything was perfect timing for everything. It all kind of worked out. And we made the best of it,
Yeah.
We really did.
So with Freak...
Freak waves.
Obviously, that was helping also, showcase upcoming talent, emerging talent mm-hmm. from Saudi. But also, were you doing this through Middle Beast Records as well? Because I understand that was kind of a label to showcase local regional talent, right?
Yep. I mean, Middle Beast Records is it has its sub-labels as well. We have a few labels underneath Middle Beast Records, including Gabu. Gabu is more... caters to the deep house sound, underground house, so more niche. Then you have Watar. Watar is Watar means string in Arabic.
Okay.
And we're referring to strings on a on a oud or a guitar or a noon. And the thought behind it is organic electronic music. With more instrumentation, whatnot. And then we have Mahul Records. Mahul is Mahul in Arabic means massive,
Okay.
and so this refers to big room sounds, you know, house and techno. We have Maestro Lab Records, which is more on the young, up and coming, experimental electronic sounds. So yeah, we have a nice range of labels, and we're developing more. Just so we can, you know, speak to the different audiences that we are identifying in our region. Yeah.
Okay, so after the pandemic happens, we all kind of go back out. 2021 is when XP conference kicks off.
First starts, yes.
First start. So the 3-day music conference in Riyadh, which I went last year and was absolutely blown away by. I loved every second of it and came back so incredibly inspired by the amount of people that I met there and just seeing a scene grow so beautifully and so much talent and emerging sounds. And I remember coming back just being buzzing so much about XP. I had Nouria on the podcast actually not long ago, and she's just so, so lovely and so inspiring. But yeah, how do you think that the conference has helped develop the music scene, not just in Saudi, but across the wider region?
Well, I mean, the conference helps us connect, you know, as a scene on a regional level. It helps us discover different types of music that are available to us and around us. It helps us discover all of these tribes that I was talking about, all of these little music communities. You know, they come together at XP and they exchange ideas and they have conversation. And conversation is important. You know, it's about connection, it's about collaboration, it's about creation. So, you know, these are, you know, this is how you build from the ground up, right? Mm. It's conversations. And, you know, we invite musicians, we invite designers, entrepreneurs, music industry folks, you know, just to talk about, you know, what they do and what their role is in creating successful music stories, you know,
yeah.
And building music culture. And for us, I see this happening. I see this creating kind of like an invisible regional glue. You know, I'm seeing a lot of people from around the Middle East really look at XP as somewhere to really connect with other people, and it's an opportunity to create music. It's an opportunity to create spaces, opportunities, and applications, and you know, like it's yeah. just it's a breathing ground for future music ideas, especially in our context. You know, it's very clean canvas, so there's so much to be done, and we can innovate. We can bring our context into this and come up with something that works for us.
Is there anything in particular that you're really, really looking forward to during this year's edition?
I mean, I love the energy of the people, right? And during the last two editions, we had XP happen during the weekdays. This year, we're moving it to the weekend. So that is going to create a new... I mean, I'm always in for the freshness of a situation.
Yeah.
I always think, what's going to happen this year? This is a big difference. You know, people are going to be able to come during the day. How much more value does this create? And so I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the daytime activity and how it's going to be amped by the weekend.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this year's edition. Yeah. And also it's one weekend XP and then the weekend after is Soundstorm, right? Because yep. last year was only a couple of days in between, or did it overlap slightly?
No. I mean, we had the last day was Wednesday and Thursday was Soundstorm.
Yeah.
There was yeah. So, you know, we closed it up and then went to the other side.
And this year you've got a little bit of time in between.
There's some time in between. I mean, it's good for us, but also good for the audience. You know, 6 days of intense, you know, running.
Yeah.
is a lot. So I'm hoping this year it's gonna, you know, maybe introduce even a new audience. Maybe, you know, there'll be a Soundstorm audience that's separate to the XP audience, and vice versa. So, you know, for us, it's all learning. Every situation is an opportunity to learn.
How many people are you expecting at Soundstorm this year?
I don't know. I, you know, every year it's hundreds of thousands. So, you know, I'm excited about the experience of those hundreds of thousands of people. You know, that for me is more enticing than the you know, the numbers, right? I'm more excited to see how they react to the music, what kind of music they gravitate to. It's all learning for us, you know.
Yeah. So me and you met last year at ADE, because I was moderating your panel on the growth of the music scene in the region. And one thing that we spoke about was misconceptions that the world might have about nightlife in the region. Since then, do you think that these misconceptions still exist? And if so, which do you think are the biggest ones?
Look, it's pleasantly shifted. You know, it's no longer the same reaction. You know, now it's more curiosity, intrigue, is the reaction I'm getting, which I'm really enjoying. And I, you know, in this context, I'm not, my tone is is not really defensive. It's more, you know, there's this and there's that, and you get to see this and you get to hear these people, and you know, it's a different dialogue. And also, you know, it's a new frontier. It's like, you know, people have heard of it now. So even the if you know, if you're having a conversation with someone who's never been or has only heard of what's happening, the intention is to check it out.
Yeah, I totally agree
with
you.
Not to scrutinize it, you know.
Yeah. Because even that happened with me. I remember when I got the invite for XP last year, and I remember there was people from the music industry like, are you sure you want to go? I've heard this, I've heard that. And I was like, no, I want to see this for myself. This year that I'm going back, it's a totally different thing. This year it's like, oh, I remember how excited you were when you came back last year. I'd love to go. So it has definitely changed in a short period of time.
Yes, you hear more, are you sure? You heard more, are you sure, last year. This year you're hearing more, I want to come too. So
yeah, 100%.
Excellent shift.
Yeah, 100%. So just to kind of wrap up a little bit, I just want to know, obviously you've got loads coming up, busy few months, but is there anything in particular that you're really, really looking forward to in terms of gigs, music, conferences? I know you've been going to a lot of conferences lately.
Well, yeah, I mean, I love, you know, people and music and this whole culture that comes with it. So for me, it's I'm just excited to see all of it, really. I love the rinse and repeat factor of this year versus last year. Last year was all new. This year I get to do all of this again, and so I'm excited to run around Soundstorm this year. I'm excited to listen and discover and meet new people at XP. And we're also throwing Balad in January. That's super exciting. But there is something special happening this year. We've already launched it. We've been launching smaller spaces, more intimate events. We have this event called Fog, which is a rooftop party. Fog literally means up.
Okay.
In Arabic, but it's a really cool word in Arabic, and it's. And it means a lot of things in our language. It means something exciting, or you know, something that you want to do. Like, it has the same concept as up, you know.
Yeah.
Yep. And so that's something I love. Another thing is this new concept where we're opening in Al-Ula called Kokab, which means planet. And Kokab is set up in this like valley between rock formations, and it's like a you know, an otherworldly experience. You know, the thought behind it is that everyone that arrives in Al-Ula looks around and says, wow, I feel like I'm on another planet. So that was the inspiration. And then We have a few events happening in Jeddah. We have a new event called Moja, which means wave. And that's, it translates, you know, wave means wave as in water wave and also sound wave. And it means the same in Arabic. So we played with that pun and we called it Moja. Sounds like Mojo also. Yeah, so it's easy to remember. That's happening this weekend. We're launching it this weekend in Jeddah. It's a beach party at night. We're expanding into these smaller intimate spaces. I love that stuff. I love discovering what people like and learning how to create better concepts in our future work. So
yeah. Oh, you're super busy.
Busy, but also I don't think I could be doing anything else. Then this is exactly what I want to be doing. So, you know.
Do you absolutely love what you do?
I do. I mean, I worked in branding and advertising for 2 decades. And I had two worlds. I had my daytime world and I had my nighttime world. And right now this job is literally those two worlds colliding every day. And so I don't know when my day begins and when it ends, to be honest. It's just an all day, all consuming role and purpose. And I'm very happy doing this. And I'm lucky because it's literally like, you know, yes, it happened at this age, but also yes, everything that I've been through in my life, every single step that I took in my journey was something that, ended up being a toolbox in what I'm doing today. So, can't complain.
You always look so, so happy. And every time I see you, you're just one of those people that just, if I see you somewhere, I'm like, yes, you just bring so much like good energy wherever you go.
Well, it takes one to know one. That's the same. That's the same for you, for sure.
Thank you, my love. Thank you. Just to end, I have two questions. First of all, can you give us some upcoming Saudi artists to look out for or we should have on our radar?
Oof. Yes. I mean, look, I'm exposed. Wow, you're putting me on the spot.
I know. Sorry.
Look, I like a lot of the Saudi artists. And, you know, I have a specific sound that I like, so my answer is definitely going to be biased to that sound, and that's my what's it called,
niche.
Oh my god, no, it's a disclaimer. That's my disclaimer.
Okay.
I mean, I love Soul Skin. She's from Riyadh, plays a very funky sound. I love Durar. She's also someone I've always paid attention to with my ear whenever she's playing. There's the usual heroes, Vinyl Mo, there's Omar Fayyad from Egypt, there's who else, Void Kid, Varu, Majid, Gunnar, Mishal, the Boos. There's so many different artists that are, you know, very unique in their sound, and especially, for me, it's the old school guys, like the experts or the people in my age group. There's Tariq Antabian and Mars. You know, I feel like they're artists that should be heard. They're wonderful and they have a very distinct point of view musically, but that applies to a lot of the Saudi artists. They really come, they pack a punch, and regionally as well, like a lot of the artists from Egypt, Tunisia, Morocco, Bahrain, Dubai. There's so many great talents, and they all have a very distinct point of view. So definitely check out the Arab DJs and musicians and producers there. They've got something to say.
Yeah, that is actually one thing that I loved so much when I was there last year, that I made so many amazing friends while I was at XP, and they all took me to like different after parties and events, and like it was really nice to be part of that local scene and see the amount of incredibly talented artists that were there. There's so much to discover. It's insane.
For sure. And also it's all unseen, you know, it's abundance because, you know, we are discovering it, you know, it's new to us too. So, and I'm talking about the talent, you know, all these talents, we didn't know they existed. And so now we're enjoying them too.
Finally, I ask everybody this question because my podcast is called Can You Put Me On Guest List? Do you have a guest list rule?
A rule?
Yeah.
I mean, no, but let's make one now. yes, a big rule is don't ask me for guest list when it's too late.
Yeah.
That's a big one. You know, ask me in advance. That's a big rule. And in advance for me is at least 3 days.
Yeah. Good answer. Everybody at the end of this podcast gives a question to the next person. It can be absolutely any question. It doesn't have to be music related. And you also don't know who the next guest is going to be. So what would your question be?
Oof. How can we make the music industry fair?
Music industry fair. Love it. Thank you
Look
so much.
Look at me getting all academic.
I know. I love that question. That's actually a really great question. I'm going to steal that one. Thank you so, so much for spending time with me. I'm super excited to see you in about 3 weeks' time.
Yep. Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Arrive safely, please.
I will do. Thank you so much. Sending you all the love.
Take care. Bye.